Thank you.
Ya bulena.
Impaired upon by
need continuous support, especially for some of those that are not able to breathe. And when your planning cycles are not running at the same time, it is almost very difficult. And we end up with a chairperson, what the municipalities call fiscal dumping, because some funds haven't been spent by national departments, and municipalities have been suffering from the pressures of trying to be able to deliver on the services. It is just left, and they're already gone through their planning session. They are not able to spend it in line with what they need at that time. So I think those are the three aspects in terms of the question that was asked earlier on, and we wanted to just elaborate on this. Thank you very much.
Colleagues, are there any other inputs that you feel you have to make?
I think just, Chair, on the issue of recruitment, I think that was Mr. Morgan who asked that question, is what we did to ensure that the proper students followed. When we intervened, we actually went through all the CVs that were received. We did not rely on the shortlist that had been done. And we found as a result of that that people who were not shortlisted made their way through. And I can say almost about 40% of those who were not in there literally went out to be recommended for appointment to the minister. So what Charlotte is working on now is a process that will ensure that such shortlisting, when it's done by HR in future, that it's enabled to be able not to exclude people for whatever reason.
Yeah, just two things. Firstly, going back to the matter of water education. Well, the view that's very important for the department to start negotiating with higher education for the integration of water into the curriculum, comprehensively, as part perhaps of the core curriculum. It was very, very important for every South African to have a level of water education, which is a fundamental need. Two, coming to qualifications in engineering. There is a time in this country where the experiential learning was incorporated in the formal instruction as part of completion requirements. You are supposed to have a certain of experience as part of formal requirements for completing a qualification. Now, the students can get the first degree, but beyond that, still have to gather experience before they are considered for certain jobs. And that is a lot of pressure, particularly on new entrants into engineering. I would suggest that I'm beginning to negotiate with the South African Qualification Authority to reintegrate experiential learning in the completion requirements of first engineering qualification. I think that's a very, very important point, and it needs a lot of negotiation between the two departments. Two, there have been concern about underperforming water boards. As you know, there are a few water boards that are very, very strong, the Rainwater, Bloomwater, and very, very strong water, but there are a few others who are not performing very, very well. Some of them are not performing because of poor funding, some are performing because of a low level of skills. And we had years to say that certain water boards so small and so ineffectual that they are not transformable, that it will cost the government too much to try to transform them. In that case, to consider merging some water boards into larger water structures to give them much more capacity. So I think there is that consideration. We haven't made decisions finally as to which water boards should be merged, but that's part of the project. Thank you.
I do think, as I said, that there is further engagement needed, DG. Particularly, I've asked that Prof put together the few issues that we should maybe, policy issues we should be engaging on. Chapter 4 being one of them, sanitation being another one, etc., etc. Once he's, either you or he has come forward with what it is, Minister has indicated he thinks July is too late, then we'll have to look at something else somewhere in the program. But I wait for you now to come back to me as soon as possible, so at least on those policy issues we can have a bit of an engagement and people can give their views, because we haven't had that chance today. So at least we try and move forward as much as we can. Also, we could be missing each other. I mean, today, you see what you guys are doing, but you're not sure whether the things that we have identified are actually part of that. Because you may put the wording in a certain way, but you actually may mean it broader than that. So it may be also that we're talking past each other, or that you don't agree with something that we've identified. Well, then we must talk through that. That's fine. So we must give ourselves the chance for that on the policy issues. Not on the technical stuff, finances, that'll sort itself out. But it's on these policy things that the Prof is dealing with. And maybe Barbara Shiner, that we need to just get a program and then us agree if that's what we want, and then make an earlier date than July. Okay? So thank you, Chair. You and your team, if you want to go, you can go, and then we can now give the DG and his a hell of a hard time. Everything's been calm so far. That's not my kind of meetings. I like meetings that are fire and brimstone. Okay, DG, I imagine you want to, have you got an input? So how have you structured your input? Just tell me, let me just see if it's the way we're going.
Acting DDG NWRI. Ishmael Water Trading Entity, and that proposal. Ms. Lindy Weber-Sanger, the DDG International Water Corporation. Lindy Weber, just turn around. Okay, Lindy Weber is not feeling too well, so she dashes in and out for a while. Ms. Deborah Machotny, Acting DDG P&R. You'll see there are two Acting DDGs P&R Chair, and that's because the while we've got one vacant post, we've split the functions amongst two folk in acting arrangements. The one, Mbangi, takes on the responsibilities broadly for policy and planning, and Deborah is looking after the regulation side. Ms. Kirti Pillay, HR. Ms. Ntabeni, HR as well. Mr. Temba Kumalo, Communications Temba. It's a bad behind you, Chair. Mr. Squire Mathongu, Acting DDG Corporate Services. Mr. Marva Scott, Communications, Marva down the corner there. Mr. Moses Mahunanyane, Acting Mpumalanga Region, Acting Chief Director, Acting Head of the Region there. Moses is actually from Free State, and with the death of Fonyana, sorry. Okay, it's the same thing. With the passing away of the unfortunate passing away of Fonyana, Tandeka has placed one of our more experienced directors from the Free State region. Sorry, I've got a crap. Sorry, it's not. I'm serious that I've got a cramp. Mr. Dirk van der Boeren is program manager on the regional bulk infrastructure program. Mr. Errol Makoba, parliamentary officer down here in Cape Town. Mr. Victor Mokwan, he was sitting behind you as well. He's from the ministry. Sorry, you're not making me scream, it's genuinely sore. Mr. Peter Mbelengwa, Minister, Deputy Minister, Mr. Sonele Dlamini from the CIO's office is running at the moment, just sorting out some urgent work. Mr. Busi Mfumane from my office as well. Ms. Babaria Manyakanyaka, down in the end there, also from my office. Mr. Vincent Monane, on the far side there, also down here supporting. I think I've covered everyone. Reshmi Pillay, the strategic director in the office of the CFO, and I won't venture to introduce the AG and National Treasurer. I think they can do themselves. Thanks, Chair. Well, I might be struck down in the other leg.
After they will be introduced today.
Okay.
They come in at a strategic time when you want to hit your heart.
Okay.
What is the how do you want to present? What are we starting with?
The program, we have prepared a program, and we've started with the Minister's introductory remarks this morning, which is already done. The DG will just do an overview. In terms of the documents which you have a copy of our APP, which we tabled on time with the clerk of papers, and the annual performance, the APP, which was tabled. And then the expenditure
six branch presentation running from corporate services, finance, the water trading entity, policy and regulation, regions, national water resources, infrastructure, and the International Water Corporation. And although I've got them in that order 6.1 through to 6.6, what we'll do, we'll start with the line function department branches, and then we'll follow with the support functions, if that's okay. That's a suggestion that we made last meeting when we prepared. So that's as we have it. So we'll cover all of the work and then wrap up with AMD. AMD was at one stage on your program. It's not
when you after you've done the budget and so on, then I think the finance is best to do it as a patient thing. So that should just be on.
But okay, now I like, don't worry. Do you like it? Let's start. Is
you have
the order is relatively okay. So
okay.
we may just put the financial statement.
Okay. Chair, what I could suggest is that the financials, when we do the WTE, the preparation of the financial statements for 2012 are part of that presentation. And the item 7 there relates to the main account. So when Ntombi Seng does 6.2 on the first item on the main account, you can just also touch on the preparation of financial statements.
May I have some other ideas as well? But let's start with we've got today and we've got tomorrow only, so we're going to get on with it. Input looks like this, huh? Everyone got it? Okay. Okay.
National Water Act of 1998, whose objective is to ensure that South Africa's water resources are protected, used, developed, conserved, managed and controlled in a sustainable and equitable manner for the benefit of all these persons. And the National Water Resources Strategy does just that. When you deal with it, that's the instrument that is used by the National Water Act, and we'll touch on all of those principles mentioned there. And the nature of our work is actually the implementation again of all of those processes outlined. The Act provides that national government, as the public trustee of the nation's water resources and acting through the minister, has the power to regulate the allocation, the use, the flow and control of all water in the Republic. And already the discussions we have had earlier indicate that the responsibility we have changed, including the review of the legislation as you set out the program. Water Services Act, which is mainly dealing with potable water and sanitation services. The objective of the Act is to provide for the right of access to basic water supply and sanitation by Water Services Authority, not Chair, underline right of access. Sometimes the interpretation of that, when there's no water, people think you actually say they provide water when it's payment. There have been even cases that have gone to court over that. It's the right of access, basically, that is constitutional guaranteed according to national standards and norms. And section 156 read in conjunction with part B of the schedule 4 of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa gives the executive authority and responsibility to the Minister of Water Affairs to support and strengthen the capacity of the municipalities to manage their own affairs, exercise their powers and perform their functions, a supportive role in building that capacity. Sanitation is already touched on, and the Chair, you've already indicated how we could move forward in that. Historically, as Minister called them, water and the sanitation is Siamese twins. It happens, the department still has a mandate in terms of policy development, regulation and oversight of sanitation provision. Currently, sanitation provision is governed by the Strategic Framework on Water Services 2003 and the Water Services Act. That Strategic Framework for Water Services, which is the anchor for both water and sanitation water services, it's a 10-year framework document, which is still as relevant as was, and in fact was the policy instrument used in this legislative review are currently doing. And much as the implementation of sanitation currently is with human settlements, the enabling policy document is still that strategic framework document for water services.
Explain that to me. I want to grasp this. How does the president remove sanitation? Because you say here this act deals with sanitation, for example, water services. So there's an act that deals with sanitation. Then you tell me the policy development, regulation, and oversight of sanitation falls under you. What is it that the president gave to?
I wish I knew. all I know, it happened after the last where there was a movement and the rearrangement of certain departments' activities. For example, the department we are in now, Minister of Water and Water Affairs and Forestry. And after environment was the tourism. So that was there. So Water Affairs and Forestry. And through that cabinet reshuffle after the new government, a forestry component went to agriculture.
The delegation that the president made.
Yeah.
But the law,
and then they
but all the laws stay intact.
Yes, but it was the
previous law that existed.
I think it was to indicate, I'm not sure, he was here, I was not here, but I followed from the changes. I said, I wonder, just then, so there was a movement. The forestry went to agriculture, fisheries and forestry. sanitation went to human settlements, just in terms of tourism, environment was combined with water. That's in terms of Chile. What informed the President Trevor to want to?
Chair, I'm not going to hazard or make comment on what informed the President, but it came in. It was.
I can understand in my head what the law is.
Let me just step back. It took place immediately after the election and the appointment of the new president. He announced a reorganization of the state. It was called the National Reorganization of the State at the time, and announced a number of changes in portfolios. And the impact on our department was the movement of the sanitation component, which was broadly a rural-based sanitation delivery program, and the forestry component out of the department. That was then covered in a proclamation, which was published under the hand of the president in July of 2009, and it indicated what functions resorted under certain executive authorities. As part of that proclamation, there was also an indication of which pieces of legislation ministers had responsibility for. So if you look at that proclamation, I think it's Proclamation 90 of 7th of July 2009, you'll see that while sanitation moved from the department as an implementation responsibility to human settlements, the responsibility for the legislation stays with Minister Molewa as part of her legislative responsibility. There was then a process to effect that directive with that proclamation, which was issued by the President, and it was a process that was managed by the Department of Public Service and Administration, in that every move that took place had to be determined by the Minister for Public Service and Administration in terms of the Public Service Act and the regulations around the Public Service Act. So there was then a process of negotiation between the receiving department and the transferring department, which then led to an agreement around in the case of both forestry and sanitation, a memorandum which covered the determination, which would then be signed off by the Minister of Public Service Administration. So that negotiation took 3 to 4 months to conclude. It included not only a definition of the functions that were transferred to the receiving department, but it also covered the staff, the organizational arrangements that were the components of the organization that were moved, the budgets that were going to be moved, plus any assets that would move with that. So it was an omnibus submission. And if you look, I've got a copy of the determination that was made by the minister at the time, and that's the documentation which we provided to the BPR team, looking at the policy issues to see, you know, what relevance there is in terms of that move having taken, and 18 months or two and a half years down the track, what the difficulties are in managing it the way it is.
Is there a document of the public administration?
Yeah.
Was any of the legal functions of the law that you said was in the original proclamation kept with you? Was it changed in that document that said?
All of the laws still stay with the department, so the department carries the responsibility.
The department carries the responsibility for the regulatory aspects, and in terms of the determination which was signed off between the Minister Sonjika at the time and Minister Sekhwale, the policy determination part was carried by the Department of Human Settlements. And that was the reason for the round table, which Mama Bandra indicated, or Rob Mulder indicated that just a couple of weeks ago, there was a round table discussion looking at the development of that policy.
Okay.
Dealt with the sanitation.
The easiest of those, in our view, is the Water Research Act, yes. Which formed the National Water Research Commission. It's an act of 1971. As you can see, it's an old, antiquated act, which missed the opportunity of either repealing or updating, like all other acts. In 1971, when the new democratic speech started in 1994, so it, even the language used is clear, not suitable for today. But the purpose of this act is to provide the promotion of water-related research, and for that purpose to establish a water research commission and water research fund. The minister appoints members of the commission and exercises executive oversight of the commission. That is the easiest of those two acts above we talked about, and there are certain recommendations which are made. One in the, when you read on the actual review, the director general is an ex-official member of that. There are recommendations that it ceases to be so because of possible conflict of interest. For example, I served in the Water Research Commission myself for 2 terms, up to that time, still serving now. There are times when you have to recommend the levy. I check also the audit at this committee, and I said comfortable. But now I'm at the last point of recommendation before it goes to the minister. So I cannot really discuss levy and then still take that process to myself. So those areas which are pointed at as possible conflict of interest in that. There are many others which feature, but as I say, it seems to be the easiest of those acts to take to, and I think the bill has already been prepared. That's the one that should be sent down to completion. And what does the department do? Okay. What has happened? Oh, okay, the structure, sorry about that. That's the departmental organizational structure, which you have a local chair, which is the director general, chief operations officer, internal audit, which is not represented here, but it's also appointed by the administration into the AG, policy and regulation, and that is what has been split currently by the one branch, DTG level, and the national water, both of those two, national one, two, I'm not filled. Two above, we've got people placed there. Policy and regulation is not filled. Then national water resources infrastructure is got two empty people, Mabli and also Elhad Mula will be known in this circle. And the national water resources infrastructure, you've got Mate empty now. You still have operators, so I'm sure you've region villages here, Tandem above, corporate services, that one is you've got Squire empty here. That might be interesting, it's not filled. And those of you have been here longer, the previous DTG corporate services was suspended, so there's a legal case around that. So that probably, much as we really, in terms of leadership role, you talk about filling of vacancies. It's not just the numbers, it's also the position, the importance of positions. So if you want to stabilize the top, those are the positions that would be filled. As I said, the first two, there are no complications. The fourth one, the legal process is delaying any replacement. And then the chief financial officer is on my side, that's for the main account. But on the water trading energy, of course, the acting CFO phase of this year with us, and there's a process afoot in terms of that full time. And then the international operation, so that's the structure at the high level, which you're watching. Department and number, not all of this will make the presentation. of our activities, the leadership and coordination of the center, you did, Chair, indicate the need to have that structure. That is the water center leadership committee, which may, the minister may not be featuring in the form you indicated, but there is a structure that brings all the water center together. So I just needed to mention that. And develops policy, legislation, and strategies. We've talked about that. Reviews policy, legislation, and strategies to support effective delivery of services. Protects water resources. I mean, contamination of our water resources. It happens. Controls water abstraction and discharge through license and general authorities. Just this morning, you saw me also getting out a number of times. There is a practical situation of contamination. Water sources happening in the area of Johannesburg. Many of you, or some of you, have followed it through the press. The deep slot area supplied by Johannesburg Water, and Minister wanted an update on that because she had been appearing in a press conference and specific questions were asked about where we are. Remember, what the regulator, Johannesburg Water, is a highly developed water entity that is has answers. So we had to have answers. Some of the people on the ground want to be in this room with us. So, although we're here, Minister was involved, I was involved, because the water sources portable are contaminated. So we have to find out what is the entity doing, but also we have to regulate. Now that we have transgressed and we have a regulatory role, we've got to set the ball in motion, and all of those structures, people are here in this room. So it's my duty. Try to bring them all together into action, and that's what we're trying to do in between. So no disrespect when we're going in and out. That's part of what we do. Make water available, develop management and operation of infrastructure is our role, and driving water conservation and demand management. Again, we hear Minister Fitch in the press conferences. I was there. Contacted myself and SAFM and Ukhozi Radio yesterday, the issue of water conservation and demand management, even the discussion we had with the President, with the Minister last week Wednesday evening, touched on in this area, because the question, are we threatened? Do we have water? Do we have water crisis in this country? And the cost of investment, which again everybody was for because the minister is pronounced and the requirement. What the role of water conservation and demand management, because part of what makes water cost right now is to produce for waste. Because if you have got all the infrastructure, you up and you supply, especially at the bulk end, you lose a lot of water. And unfortunately, either if you supply as bulk as the water board and you will be charging for waste as well. That's the unfortunate part. So we do a lot of supportive work in that area to municipalities on water conservation and demand management. But it's the primary role of them as an institution and as individuals. So the education around that is very, very important. Plans and allocates water, conducts water resources, planning studies, makes new water allocations, drives the reallocation of water reform. Now, we go into what would appear like a very busy graphical presentation of the water supply chain, source to tap and from tap to source, as we describe it. And if you guys, unfortunately, I don't have move around the point that you have there, right to the bottom of the river. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Is that the problem now?
water treatment. Which is for for wastewater treatment plants and water, it's a certification really in terms of the competency of the water and wastewater works we should do have. Support water services authorities, we do that in a number of ways, provision of infrastructure and water conservation, demand management. This is one of the areas we actually talked about. Capacity building. If bursaries and the providers were training, we've got a training center ourselves, and collecting revenue bills and collecting revenue for infrastructure charges, water resource management charges, and the water resource levy. And unfortunately, as we say, some of the water boards, which use main source of revenue, they are battling themselves in that. But it is our, the reason we have a water trading entity is because we sell the raw water to those other users for further treatment. So, and because we are a commercial entity, and that is basically why we were splitting the main account and the water trading one. That's one of the activities we'll be involved in. Now, managing along the value chain, we've already discussed that. You can just follow water resource management, waste charge, treatment and return of water to the rivers, and etc. That process, you follow it, raw water from the river, bulk water treatment, etc. etc. That's the whole stack cycle with more detailed, more focus we talked about earlier. The overview of functions and programs, administration. The purpose of the program is to provide policy leadership, advice, and core support services, including finance, human resources, legal information and management services, communication and corporate planning, water sector management. The purpose of the program is to ensure that the country's water resources are protected, used, conserved, etc. We mentioned that before. For the benefit of all people and the environment through effective policies, integrated planning, strategies, knowledge base, and procedures. And the water infrastructure management, the purpose of the program is to ensure reliable supply of water from bulk water resource infrastructure, water press responsible for that, within acceptable risk parameters to meet sustainable demand objectives for South Africa. Solicit and source funding to implement, operate, and maintain bulk raw water resources infrastructure in an efficient and effective manner by strategically managing risk and assets. And we do use the TCTA for some of the big bulk infrastructure program as the funding institute to also source funds on our behalf. Regional implementation and support. The purpose of the program is to coordinate implementation of the department's strategic goals and objectives at the regional level, including the establishment of water resource management institution. It facilitates water conservation and demand management and access to water infrastructure by communities. And then the water sector regulation, the purpose of the program is to ensure that the development, implementation, monitoring and review of the regulation across the water value chain in accordance with the provision of the National Water Act and the Water Services Act. International Water Corporation, as you recall, we saw those areas as well in the cyclone. The purpose of the program is to strategically develop, promote, and manage international relations on water resources between countries through bilateral and multilateral cooperation instruments and organizations. The further aim is to drive national interest in both Africa multilateral and global multilateral organization and forum. As the number of those countries, of course, you've got Lesotho, you've got Botswana, you've got Swaziland, Mozambique. Those we have to share resources with those countries and the protocol of usage. At this stage, we're still fortunate to be able to extend the abstraction or exploitation of the Orange River, but you can foresee, maybe not in our lifetime, when we have to look at our neighboring countries. The times more than our biggest with the Orange, and our Congo even more with something much bigger. So at some stage when the resources of the neighborhood have been as fully exploited, not able to sustain the economic development, this is what we have to think of. And it needs as well cooperation, political stability. I'm sure you often hear, hopefully it never happens in our region, that the next world war will be around water sources. I hear a lot of that advert in the radios, and we just hope it will never reach that stage in our part of the world. There will be more talk from the CFO on that, but the various programs in terms of expenditure, but the configuration of the programs we have, program and which will feature in our E&E, I'm sure you've got the documents that by Treasury. I have them with Sako myself. The program one administration is the Minister, Deputy Minister, Office of the DG, and the Branch COO, Corporate Services Chief Financial Officer, is when you interrogate and they talk to us, that is how it's configured. Program two, Water Center Management, and the branch policy and regulation, and proposed new branch and policy and planning. That is a proposal, Chair, that when regulation, which will start as a standalone in the department and possibly evolve to an independent regulator, there's been talk over years about that possible move. And as you know, in the energy, we've got that independent regulator. We've never really reached that stage in water. It's been talked about as long as I've worked myself in the water sector, which is a considerable long period. But be that as it may, whether it's a departmental led one or it's an independent, it works better when it's a standalone. So there's that consideration. Historically, your policy and regulation included that regulatory aspect. So there's that proposal and the consideration department of planning and that just to have a look and see how it fits with the configuration of government department. But in principle, this decision has been taken. Program 3, water infrastructure management, where the national water resource infrastructure would be in. And program 4, regional implementation and support branch regions, which is the one that has the biggest allocation in terms of budget. What's the percentage, Tandera? So basically, that's where work is happening. That is logical that it is so. And all our big programs as well with your army they actually come to that. And all the other supporting ones, the municipalities, those are the regions, and they have to be strengthened. The CMAs as well, they form the embryo in terms of starting setup. And so that's where things are happening in the region. And they continue like around structure currently. Program 5, water sector regulation, policy regulation, proposal on new branch policy and planning. Program 6, international water cooperation, which is this model. strategic planning linked to government priorities. The performance plan has been developed in alignment with the 2009-14 MTSF. And the department contributes to a number of outcomes. The Department of Water Affairs is a significant partner and central to the service delivery program. It directly contributes to 5 out of the 12 outcomes in line with the government's approach to facilitating a focused implementation program.
The strategic plan and how you would put it here. We got a copy of that for this year?
You would have been, you would have had it. That's the one, yes. Okay. Note that. agenda of the department, which addresses equally important and urgent service delivery issues. Now,
is the performance agreement on the minister public?
Yeah, it is public.
Well, the president, once in parliament, says it's going to be public as soon as it's signed, and that's why I'm asking, is the performance agreement now public?
I can see shaking of hands. I assume, I mean, if that is a fund, we will present to monitoring and valuation.
Can you find out first?
Yes.
Because I think we need to, I mean, clearly we as a committee should also make sure that your strategic plan is in line with your minister's performance. It should be part of our job. So please let us know if it's public, and if it's public, bring us a call.
Can I just comment on that, Chair? Bear in mind that that performance agreement that we're referring to there are the performance agreements relating to the 12 outcomes. So minister is the principal minister for outcome 10, which is the environment outcome. So that's the performance agreement which you were referring to.
Check for both.
I'll do so.
Did I remember the president specifically was asked questions in parliament? He said, no, it's not a secret. Once it's now signed off and so on, clearly be available, but I've never seen such a
what is certainly published and available is the delivery agreement that comes out of that performance agreement. So you've got the performance agreement, and there is a process of developing the delivery agreements for each of those 12 outcomes, and that document has certainly been fairly widely available.
We'll have a look. I mean, it's obvious historically it started before this current minister. I'm not sure which minister it was.
It's difficult to see how we do oversight if we don't know what is the ultimate performance the department has to reach. I want check.
Departmental strategic goals alignment with the MTSF outcomes, and then you have the goals contribute to economic growth, rural development, food security and land reform, and the support local governments to deliver water services, promote sustainable and equitable water resources management. And with the MTSF outcome linked to those, the efficient, competitive, and responsive economic infrastructure network, vibrant, equitable, and sustainable rural communities with food security for all, a responsive, accountable, effective, and efficient local government system, environmental assets and natural resources well protected and continually enhanced. For the other page, in terms of the departmental goals, item 2.6, strengthening the regulation of the water sector and the outcome, efficient, competitive, and responsive economic infrastructure network, contribute to improve international relations and do that by creating a better South Africa and contribute to a better and safer Africa in the world and build capacity to deliver quality services and the outcome and efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service. Empowered, fair, and inclusive citizenship. The vision as we had a discussion preparing for this, normally you get this at the beginning, but it was at in terms of the annual performance plan, just the structure followed. But I'm sure, anyway, be that as it may, you'd be familiar with that. The vision is the safe water for all, forever. That's what we're saying. And the mission, our mission is to effectively manage the nation's water resources to ensure equitable and sustainable socio-economic development and universal access to water. The values of the department form acronym as a tree: transparency and respect, excellence, and everyone. Now, the other aspect we wanted to talk about is the MDGs, Kali, you made reference, Chair, earlier to a president. Not in the detail, is that the part I'm just going to do in a limited. I think you did indicate you wanted a fully fledged. He will definitely come. We did indicate last time I went with you, Chair, that you think there's that update that is required. You had the impressive presentation, and we just give you a limited one.
I'm going to call it in the year tomorrow.
Unfortunately, as is accompanying the minister on this MDG target access to basic water. Now, the context of this, Chair, for the benefit, I just want, where does this MDG come from? That's part of that slide, but I just happen to have made a presentation myself on the at the University of Western Cape, where it refers to develop this. But the Millennium Declaration, if I just set the context, Chair, for the benefit of others. Very brief. In September 2000, 189 countries, 147 heads of state signed the declaration. And basically, the Millennium Development Goals, commits governments to a clear agenda for combating poverty, hunger, illiteracy, disease, discrimination against women, shelter, and the environment. And basically, the one we're talking to is seven. Out of the eight, Chair, there are eight of them. And water actually mentions specifically on one, which is seven, ensure environmental sustainability. That is seven C. And the water-related goals you'll find in goal one, which is eradicate extreme poverty and hunger. If you are talking of eradication of poverty, especially agricultural activity, your water has to be mentioned there. Goal four, reduction of child mortality, and goal five, maternal health, and water is implied, the water involvement in water and health. However, there's no water in it. And goal six, which is to combat HIV, AIDS, malaria, and other diseases, but specifically now, which is seven, ensure environmental, and seven, see, half the proportion of people without sustainable access to safe drinking water, urban and rural. But Chair, we will talk, give you a more detailed one on the MDC when we
arrive. What you can do is, here's the last update in August 2011, so it's not too bad. You give me a copy of this at least for these public hearings.
And then just going back to the presentation on that one, contribute to economic growth, rural development, food security, and land reform, and to promote sustainable and equitable water resources management. And the objectives that are outlined there, as I say, are spoken to that. And
I think you can leave that now.
That's what.
Give us this.
Yes. Basically, if one would take the context of setting the scene, if you go to that, and the difference, remember these MDGs are set in 2000. In South Africa, you go back, had already committed to basic water supply delivery in 1994. And if we say, Chair, I think even the Minister as well, often we will brag and say we're ahead of these Millennium Development Goals. That is the case, if we have exceeded the halving even by 2005, we're already achieving more. The question would be asked, why are people agitated? And it's a logical question to ask. You're ahead of everybody. And I think I do have an answer. It's just a personal one. It's to say the country committed itself to actually create just universal access. Remember, we've set legislation, constitutional provisions saying what
water and sanitation services are constitutional guaranteed. So we set it, that is 1994, long before your Millennium Development Goals meeting. You set a target of 100% access to basic water supply by 2014. It seems unlikely you are going to reach that. You saw the challenges both in terms of new coverage, cost of that new coverage, and also dilapidated infrastructure. So, and why, address the question, why are people agitated if we are ahead? I have a view, Jen. The people are not comparing themselves. A South African person will look, first of all, expectation of what the country has in terms of resources, what promises have been made. If we said we'll have universal access by 2040, what are your neighbors? What do they have which you do not have? You will not compare yourself with a person either in Senegal or in Myanmar. You will compare yourself with somebody affluent next door, whether it's an urban provided one. A personal example, I come from a rural area myself, in Umtata, 25 kilometers from Umtata, very rural. No water, never been any water up to now, today. Neighboring village, those who come from that area, Mpego, has had water for years. So that rural person is comparing with another rural. You'll ask, if I don't have this service, my neighbor has, well, how come? And this is not going to be interested in what your Ivory Coast or whatever, it's just here. That's basically it. And because we've also publicly said we will have covered that, and then people will judge you against that as well. So, success ascribed to, we had definitely a strong political will, dedicated leadership, committed to sector program, policy funding, organizing knowledge base, and drive. But as I say, for the reasons which have been mentioned, the elaborate will be elaborated more, functionality of schemes, you know, cost of schemes, especially deep rural, remote areas, mountainous terrain, it's becoming harder and more expensive. The easiest places probably have been covered in a number of provinces. The settlement patterns that also would affect that. Progress program started in 1994 with a confirmed backlog of 41. Chair, some of these statistics, as I say, will be covered more and more in the detailed presentations in the regions. So that's basically that. I think that was touched as well in terms of, we'll go to the basic water supply achievement meeting of infrastructure that was covered as touched by in the slides by the minister. Go to, just go on, and the one 1994 where we were. Yes, that's basically where we started. 1994, the backlog was 41%, and the backlog now is 5.3%. And obviously, in terms of statistical thing, it's an achievement. But to somebody who has nothing, it doesn't mean much, basically. But benchmarking with other countries in that short period of time, but again, who is it? Mainly urban, not your rural person. So that's basically challenges. Figures reflect access to water infrastructure. Challenge, however, is the functionality of delivered schemes. Special survey indicates a national picture of 74% of functionality of water delivered, varying from 38% to 98% on a provincial basis. Present delivery process complex with multi-departmental programs, process and responsibilities. Addressing remaining needs more complex in respect to solutions, water availability, service levels, and funding. And again, if you proceed, the graphs, the graphical presentation, I think that was touched on, if you proceed to Babalo, in terms of functionality of services, spread throughout the various provinces, you can just have a quick look at both in your presentation and what is there. Because again, you do have infrastructure which is not functional, it doesn't help much. And that's basically what I think Trevor did show that as well. And the next one on KSD, where that has already been shown.
Yeah, basically, yes. I won't touch much on the slides because there will, some will be repeated. The way ahead, social security and economic and environmental risk, high priority outcome, 9 water users, to want to lead and drive basic water supply program, list of limited responsibility and control, integrated sector coordination and management, extended 5 actions, formal backlogs, fast moving targets, as well as service functionality and water security. So basically, it that moving targets and the functionality of scheme is the most agitating even to anybody. The worst thing is just to see infrastructure that is meant to be working. Yeah, even in my own village without water, they started building pipes, foot pipes, 2 years ago. There's no water, never been any water. You can imagine the irritation of people just to see dead pipes with never any indication and when you'd ever have water. It's just that rural area may mention, if that's the case and they are the most deprived, why you hardly see any service level protest in rural areas. In urban areas, I'm not sure whether there's something about the rural personality. They are very docile, very content. I beg your pardon? Maybe that's the other side, but they really accept suffering like lambs. I don't know why they, but that's the reality, that's what happened. Maybe because there's also no televisions roaming around every day, agitated easily, your television will quickly go to that hotspot, and then there will have to be a response. Yeah, I think basically that's some of the maps that just ahead was showing the hotspots on that. And the basic water services intervention, that slide was covered, I think, by Trevor earlier on the next one. Just more elaboration. There's your functionality, bulk infrastructure, water security. So basically, Chair, if you can summarize the outline I'd like to give in terms of the responsibilities we have as a department and our intervention. We do have that mandate of looking after the national water resources. It doesn't end there. We develop the infrastructure the bulk infrastructure. We build capacity, especially in the municipalities we deal with, and we provide new infrastructure. But it's not only that new infrastructure, we assist the municipality in terms of rapid response to deal with the current one which they have. And if I may just add a note, as this mandate, we talked about sanitation earlier. We know it's with another department. We know it naturally belongs. But even the support we give to the municipality, the questions are asked. Some people are territorial in approach and will say our mandate does not extend to direct provision of these services to individuals. The constitutional responsibility is municipality. But our minister and deputy minister don't take that narrow approach. They say we are the leaders, as we are indicating, Chair, in the sector. And as leaders, when there are problems, we have to assist. The fact that we do not have, some are worried that they call unfunded money when we go to assist those municipalities. We feel that as part of the both talking to the specific departments, we have the constitutional mandate, we talk with them. But if there's need to change, we'll have a new legislative review and budgetary provision. Your treasurer, you are here. You know and what we are doing, but some of those, like the water services responsibility, was moved from us, and we are doing without any funding. And the cry from the department is that not that we are unwilling to do, but we must be funded from what we do, and that's basically. And the other came only last week, a cry and the desire from the regions to be able to do more. But they say the fund are dwindling me. I'm happy with your comments and with your team in Treasury about what to do with the equitable share and many other sources of funding. Look at who does the work and basically, and review when necessary with your support. Chair, I think I've taken more than I should have, which was meant to set the scene, but basically I'd like to stop.
It's a good overview. Obviously, most of the issues the DG raises will come up in each sector. And if there are any specific things that you think the DG should answer now, do so. In the meantime, while you're thinking, there are four things. We need the documentation for the delegation of sanitation, a whole legal framework that I understand it. We need the year around the performance report. Then, we need each member to have a copy of this. I also ask Fred to update. See, this is the polite version. This is the polite version. This is for public consumption. When he gave us the input, he showed graphs like this that shows you how these things go. So that's the update. Okay? So the MDGs, each one have a copy of this, please, by tomorrow. And by the update, let Fred do that as soon as possible. And fourthly, you didn't say anything about last year. There were a lot of tasks we gave you. Looking in a certain direction.
Yeah. Baba, don't
look. Don't look looking forward. I don't expect you to deal with all those, but what I want you to do is go to your sister department, environment. They've done a task list of all the things they have to do. At the very least, what I want you to do is draft that task list, and with some, as they've done it, so that we can give members at least and see what follow-ups need to be done. Okay, so just do that task list. So those are the four things. Okay. So she's done task list at various times, and she's given that as many times. And I want an update, overall update, on all the task lists. And speak to your sister department, see if they've done it in a certain way. Let's get it done like that. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Chair. We'll try to find out what it is. And then environment is more the format, but specifically what are the...
We can give you a copy.
All right.
They've given us a copy. We haven't circulated the members, but we'll give it to them soon as well. They've just given it to us last week. Okay. All right. Any questions? I'll give you now Mr. Baldwin. Any questions on these issues? Yes, ma'am. Ms. Baker?
Thank you, Chair. If you look at slide 27, we'll be talking about the basic water supply achievement, meeting the infrastructure standards. We stand at 94.7%. Although we're meeting the supply into infrastructure standards, how much of that infrastructure is actually functional? Because that is where your demonstrations are coming in, because although the infrastructure is in, but it's non-functional. If you look at slide 30 in Tarka itself, I mean, you can see the infrastructure is in place, but there is no water supply giving to those communities. And that is just one of Umtata. But the same pattern goes throughout the country, and that is where we're seeing all the demonstrations and the unhappiness of the people. So I think that figure is not relevant. It actually is happening on the ground. So if you can just give us an updated version of that. Thank you.
Any more questions to the DG now? Yes, Dr.
Pong. Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's from the, of course, the thank you for the DG presentation. But here, DG came from the Mutapa. It's a very funny joke. You not stay in the Mutapa now. Do you stay in the Mutapa now?
Do you want
the
specific response?
No. I follow up for my colleague. He just say. With the water supply, you highlight is the most pipeline in the old rural power, old rural area. Then there is no function. So no function is from the our department, the water department. It's 5.4% now. It's no water supply from the your table. So I just like to say, is why I say, because you are busy for this water. From your hometown, even for the water function. It's a funny joke for people can't believe. But I just say, from the department side, you see now it's cover all the pipeline. Then I want to know how you achieve for the regional function.
from your department.
Any other questions in the DG where you're not going to cover later? Okay, DG, quickly. Oh, sorry.
No, Chair. You see, in terms of infrastructure, I should think that the DG is correct, that there is an infrastructure up to this presentation he has indicated. But that infrastructure is assisting the people on the ground. Because in the other areas, they are not more getting water through that particular infrastructure. Should think in terms of infrastructure, he is correct. But the water regulation to that infrastructure, is it accessible to the communities? It's another challenge, I should think, that the department must look at so that we can correct it and make sure that infrastructure goes in hand in glove with the water regulation. Thank you, Chair.
I'm afraid to say I don't agree with this percentage because this is the new. We don't want to baptize in fire. DG, can you call the infrastructure in Soweto an infrastructure, for example? How many years is that infrastructure? So, old, need to be replaced. So this percentage of work is not correct.
See why I say engage in detail, okay? But respond to it.
Yeah.
But I do think that once Fredrick said it updated these things, they must come and give that input. Because, I mean, we must be aware that we're talking apples and apples and pears and pears. Otherwise, we're not going to get it right. And if we don't have the input here to actually see what he's saying, then it's very difficult. Because, I mean, what DJ has done is taken pieces. So all I'm just saying is answer that whatever way you want to. But I still think that is why treatment updating will come back next year.
Then, sir, in terms of the update we undertake, what I'd like to find out, the digital regions, because the way close to that's where we have an input to make, definitely the information we have on the functionality side, that was the by just your simple just a comment. I know we can't do it accurately. Do you want to comment?
Through you, Chair, I will be covering partly the state of infrastructure and functionality, but more importantly, what we're doing about it in my presentation.
That's fine. Thanks for that. But in terms of the, I think that would answer. Let's just wait, even your the accuracy or doubt about that, the responsibility comes into it as well. When you are not, say you are not happy, at what end, you know, the regulation infrastructure, which is there, the information, obviously, the accuracy of it, you rely on the information supplied by your municipalities. The further you are in, and probably entirely what you do, and even in terms of ordinary asset registers, you know, some municipalities wouldn't even have that. But let us wait until that more information comes into that. As for the comments about Mtata, that is, I'm not sure. It just so happens I moved to Pretoria in January. But this past 2 weeks, starting with Easter, I was in those rural areas. I do know I'm not just a distant passive person. I was in the region last week, Thursday, with the digital region, Tandera. We met with the whole original team of the Eastern Cape, and they were surprised when I made this example. Yes, I jump when minister says there's a water problem. I must run when there's a problem, water.
I would not do is to abuse my position. I'll ask, as I did ask, because part of the case, the support, actually from Mthatha jumped, my village is only 25 km from town, and it jumped this support to one which is 50 km. I think it's legitimate to ask without being, without favoring your position. How does that happen? You know, so, but the point is people obviously will have expectations. You are their son, but you don't have water. I scratch for water myself. I go to town. I go to a Langen. If you're familiar with this, put water in the in buckets just for me to drink and my family. And you ask when I'm not there, what happens? That's the reality of South Africa. I don't agitate people. I don't say they must burn or anything. No, that's the reality. And there are many villages like that.
So, but basically,
if we react without being territorial, Chair, I'm surprised. Let me mention this, Chair. I'm not sure that I mentioned to you. In this parliament, there's a national members from specific local municipalities, district municipalities, and yet, I'm not sure when they're at home, whether they push the water services authorities, the municipalities, for answer. Because as things stand, the constitutional responsibility belongs to municipalities. Ours is meant to be a policy and regulator. And yet, we do more than that. I've been asked by a member who comes from a local municipality, what are you going to do with the water? And the member has asked my minister, what are you going to do? The member has not asked the municipality there, what are you doing? So I would encourage that, yes, when you've got that...
You vote differently next time.
Yes?
That's what you suggest.
Just
vote a different council.
More will be covered by my team. I don't want to eat much of their time. Yeah.
Do you want to add something to that?
Honourable members, thank you very much. Just to on the points you raised, Chair, in terms of the sanitation transfer documents you'll have in this afternoon, I've just had confirmation with regard to the performance agreements, is that it's only the delivery agreements that are public. Ministers were given the choice individually to decide whether to make the performance agreements available that we've got from GCIS. The MDG document... I'll check on that. I'm just giving you the factual. You asked me whether they were public documents.
Then you find out what the minister's decision was.
But I will get that from our sister department. It's them that should provide that, but I will get it from them. The MDG document, I won't be able to get those copies delivered tomorrow, so I'm going to get them from Pretoria, Chair, but you'll get them down as soon as possible. And the task list, we have a consolidated task list available. We'll let you have that one. Maybe ours is better than environment, but we will check it out.
Have a look at that and see if it was better. If it's better than you said, then I'll tell environment to please go to you. Just to see how to do it. I'll tell you what's the healthy one.
Okay, so that's it. Let's quickly, we have... about an hour left. I think the next issue is the budget.
Yes,
Dubby Singh will do the budget, just to set the scene on the budget, and then we will go into the functional branches.
Now, before the branches, I want to do the financial statements. That probably will happen tomorrow morning. I want the AG and Treasury to make their comments around. So the budget and the financial statement will be done. Close together. Then we can go on to the other.
Okay. All right.
Let's do the budget. How much money we've got, what we've done, how much we've underspent, how much you're rolling over.
sites you can grab while we're busy. Okay? But are we going to go on?
Yeah.
The bus will keep rolling. Speaking of the plane while it's flying.
Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, members. I am going to briefly give an overview of the budget for this current financial year, which is 12 and 13, that we have just started. The presentation was also done according to the action list in terms of the increase per program and the bids that have been submitted to Treasury. If we look at our first slide, it's an overview in terms of the increase and decrease that has been received per program. Program 1 has received a 2% increase in their budget. Program 2 has got a decrease of 14%. Program 3 is also having a decrease of 13%. Program 3 is the one that deals with the infrastructure. Program 4, which is the chunk and that takes the chunk of our budget, has a decrease of 13%, but amongst the sub-programs, there are those that have received the increase in projects. Program 5 has got an increase of 2%, and the program 6 has got a decrease of 1%. This is how the budget was initially being submitted to National Treasury in the beginning of the process of submission of the budget. Preliminary, we got the budget of 10.2. With all the discussions that went on, efficiency savings that have been added and the cuts, we end up in the transfer to Working for Water, as we are aware that the program Working for Water has now been transferred to our sister department, DEA. We have then shifted the money of 1.4 billion. It left us with the budget of 8.8 billion for this current year. The presentation is according to the program and sub-programs as well as economic classification. Program 1, the increase of 2% relates to 869 that was allocated for last year, but for this year we then have 883 million. For program 2, the decrease of 14% is illustrated by 882 going down to 618 million. Program 3, there was also a decrease from 2.3 billion to 2.2 billion. Program 4, a decrease is illustrated by 4.7 billion to 4.8 billion. Program 5, the budget moved from 112 million to 114.
Why haven't we got a copy of this document? Why haven't we got a copy? We've got copies of everything else.
We haven't got a copy.
Huh?
We haven't got a copy.
I'm asking.
Yes, but I'm asking.
Why haven't we got a copy? I just can't understand. You're giving us all the others and it's actually just not here. Is there a reason?
There's no reason, Chair.
No,
I think there's no reason for not having the copy.
You can't tell me to refer to something on Treasury when there's a specific input that's been made about the department. I don't have a copy of it. It doesn't work like that. All right, let's get a copy. But go on. Struggle along.
Okay. In terms of economic classification, the current payments include the COE budget together with goods and services, where we have the budget of 2.6 billion compared to the 2.9 billion that we had last year. For transfers, there's a cut from 3.5 to 2.9, and for payment for capital assets, it's an increase from 2.5 to 3.2 billion. The picture that is reflected is a cake of which the slices are cut. Regional gets 56% of the cake, followed by Program 3 Water Infrastructure Management, which gets 26% of the budget. Then administration gets 9%, water sector management gets 8%, and water sector regulation gets 1%. In terms of allocation per program per year, is the comparison between last year and the coming year. The red reflects this current year, the blue reflects the previous financial year, and the green reflects the coming financial year. You would see that there is some slope in terms of the graph. For program one, it's increasing by each year, but if you go to program two, there is a decrease, as I've indicated, compared to last year. But for the coming financial year, there is an increase in terms of budget. For program three, there was a decrease this year compared to last year, but going forward, we have an increase in terms of the budget. Same applies with program four. It is an increase throughout the year. Program five, there is no decline. No, for this current year and the following year, the budget remains steady. In terms of the economic classification, for current payments, which includes COE budget as well as goods and services, there is increase throughout the year. For transfers, as I've indicated earlier on, there is an increase for this year, and for the following year, there will be a decrease in terms of the allocation. That also is determined by the process that is ongoing in terms of the transfers. For the following year, in terms of the economic classification, there will be an increase in terms of capital assets versus the transfer. The next slide reflects the budget. The slide that is there is indicating the budget for SS 17 of Feb. I must indicate that in terms of the closure of the financial year, the year has closed. We had a preliminary closing of the books on the 16th. We are expecting to close our books on the 20th, but the final closure of the books will be on the 30th of April. Therefore, in terms of the final picture of the expenditure, as yet we don't have the final because there are still journals that have been processed, but as we speak, we are sitting at 92%. The following slide talks to the
92.
Throughout the projection.
Which unit didn't spend their money? Where did they just capital?
The bulk, which is sitting at as Program 4. Program 4 overall budget is at 93%. So the 7% comes from the Program 4. Which is regional implementation. Mostly has not been spent on the staffing, which is compensation of employees.
So most of the 8% is because of employment that has to be done, and that salary that stood over.
Yes, currently in terms of compensation of employees, we are sitting at 84%. So we spend 84% on the OE. The sub programs that have been received the increase are as follows: those sub programs, including the regional bulk, has moved from 1.7 to 2.5 for this year. So there is an increase of 45%. Perhaps let me start from the beginning. The regional program coordination has got an increase of 2 to 9%. The integrated catchment management has got an increase of 102%. There was no allocation for the past year for the economic and social regulation, which has received the budget of 3.7 and is 100%. In terms of accommodation, that is the funding that we use through Department of Public Works, there is an increase of 61%. Regional BACA have indicated. Water use authorization has got an increase of 5%. Transfers, there is an increase of 4%. Compliance monitoring, there's an increase of 4%. Internal audit through all the projects that they run, they've received the increase of 3%. IWC for Africa Corporation have also received the increase of 3%. Drinking water quality and waste have received the percentage of 2%, and the ministry within the administration program has received 2%. However, there were also some sub-programs that have received some cuts in the budget. That includes the DG's office, that includes the policy and strategy. Sector support has also received a decrease of 41%. Integrated planning, which is within Program 2, has also received a cut of 35%. Institutional oversight also have received a cut of 33%. As well as institutional establishment has received a cut of 27%. Policy and planning has received 21%. Financial management within the Program 1 has got the cut of 20%. Support services got 19%. Water services projects has got 19%. And regional management and support is sitting at 16% as a cut. And international relations, there was a cut of 15%. But if you look at the number of the sub-programs that have received the cut, it's mainly on Program 2. It continues with those cuts. Water information management has received 13%, and water ecosystems is sitting at 9% cut. Corporate services is 7%, enforcement 6%, infrastructure development at 5%, and so forth.
Is there a different unit come and give inputs here? The ones that didn't spend their budget. I want all the reasons that you give before the day why their budget wasn't submitted.
The next had planned this talk to program one and breaking down in terms of the sub program within program one. I have indicated that the budget
what is
for
program 2% where most of the increase, that where most of the cuts came.
Yes, that's where the most cuts. The initial budget was 882 for program two for last year, but for this year it's sitting at 61.
What is program two?
Program two involves policy and planning, integrated planning, policy and strategy. The cuts, mostly what happened with the cuts was also looking at the spending trend at the time when we were doing the budget. However, in terms of program two and program five, as the DG has initially presented, the linkage between the budget structure as well as the organogram, they are not linked. So policy and regulation in terms of the program, they are sharing program two and program five. So it's not only sitting at program two. So but other budgets is also sitting at program five as the policy and regulation.
But the decreases are there or cuts?
Yes.
I'm asking why. I mean, you see, this professor, he gave an input here, saying one of the main focuses we have is policy review, da-da-da-da-da. When he says that, in my mind, I'm thinking there's an increase of spending. And when you tell me the budget, you say this is the area we'll be cutting. So I'm just asking the question, I'm trying to understand what does that mean for the department. A simple question. Why are we cutting there? What is it that we're cutting? Are we their staff? Are we cutting programs? What is it we're cutting?
Chair, I think in terms of the budget, what also motivates the allocation of the budget is when you have plans on how you are going to make use of the budget that will be allocated to yourself. But at the time of allocating or planning for this budget, there was not sufficient inputs coming from the specific component. And mainly it's also because of the issue of the restructuring of the program itself. I think this is trying to explain the issue of splitting the program in terms of policy as well as the regulation. So at that moment there was not sufficient motivation in terms of the program.
The component part
they must prepare.
Yeah.
I'm very angry.
They are,
so they must get
Bangi and Deborah, because it touches on your, but the specific questions asked by the chair, so much, I mean, the CFO can explain, but the causal one.
Now, why weren't they ready, and why didn't they give input to have their budgets ready? And now there's a decrease in their budgets. While one of the great pushes in the department is to change policy. Okay, so they can answer that tomorrow and it'll be part of the inquiry.
Okay. That is program one. I'm not sure, Chair, should I go into details in terms of...
No, don't go into details. My friend is a friend today. You gave more money in your office space or whatever. Go back and forth. You say that earlier you said that
the regional only spent 93% of the money. Then when you went to increases, the regional bulk of 45% of the money.
Yes.
How did that work? You're not spending it. Why are you giving that 45%?
It was in terms of the proposals that has been brought forward. I think DDG reasons will speak to that. And in terms of the projects that are still upcoming that were not in the this financial year, I mean in the previous financial year, but it's according to the demand plan that has been submitted of the project and the project implementation plan.
I've got some questions there, and as you go on to what I have.
I'm
going on.
Okay, move on, brother. In terms of the cutting, that's how the program one, the cutting has been implemented on. In total, program one had the cut of 90 million,
sure.
And program two, the total spent at 93 million. Next slide, please. And program three, it's sitting at 35 million cut. And program four, it's sitting at 119 million, and program five is 5 million cut, and program six is sitting at 597 cut. And in terms of the increase, as I have indicated, the office accommodation has got the increase, the additional of 107. And program four, where there are those implicate projects that has been highlighted, have received the increase to the total of 381, and that is the end of the presentation.
All right, you should also have just received copies. Any I tell you what worries me. Maybe that the CFO, and I'm not picking on her, but maybe the way she's a bit articulated. But you see, the way it's articulated, why do you cut this one and say, no, they didn't give their plan in that time? Then you say, but why this one here didn't spend their money? Why did they get more money? I know, because they asked and they just put their plans. You see what my worry is immediately. But if you can put plans forward and so on, then you get the money, despite you not being able to spend it. But if you don't put plans in, because I don't know why, because I mean, we just obviously pressurized that people to get their plans in. And then after you don't get plans in, you get cut. I get a very uneasy feeling about that, because that tells me that the department is not too afraid of what it's doing, where money to go.
Depending on these different units to put in their bids, and the ones that can do the bids properly get it, and then we don't. So it's very worrying to me, that statement that was made. Is very worrying to me in the way the department is running. Because what it tells me, it's not, these are our priorities, these are the performance agreements we have to achieve, this is how much it's going to cost, and therefore this is what the funding we must give. It's more a question of how efficient is the manager in that unit in getting their budgets across, other than really what your objectives are. So I must tell you immediately, I feel uncomfortable about the way that's presented. Maybe it wasn't intended to be presented like it, but that's the feeling it leaves me with. And I can hear some of the members also grunting, and that's the usual thing when they don't like something. They grunt. Let's have some questions. Mrs. Kosana, Dr. Juan, Mrs. Morgan. Okay.
No, thanks. No, thanks, Chair, and CFO. But, Chair, you see, this budget is worrisome. I'm also worried, as you are worried about this issue of card. Hence, we've got a lot of work to be done in the department, especially the infrastructure in various regions. But, Chairperson, we received the specific on different programs, but I just want to know the total expenditure, of all in fact programs, because I don't see it yet. It's only said 7% not spent on this budget, but in reality, we want to know very well what was the total expenditure. Then it's when we can argue on this other percentage that has been, in fact, that has not been spent. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. If we look at slide one, with the budget allocation is indicated on the graph. There is an average decrease in all the management sectors, the water sector, water infrastructure, regional, etc., by 13%. Yet the administration has gone up by 2%. How does the two marry each other?
We just receiving the oral detail because the presentation is too small, we can't see. So I just say the situation is cannot remain this place to the monopoly.
Well, look, if there is something you want to ask tomorrow morning, I'll allow you a chance. But have a look at it. But if you want to ask something tomorrow, I'll give you a chance. We didn't get Mr. Moore?
Thanks, Chair. I'm particularly interested in what, I mean, you outlined your earmark plans towards the end of the presentation. And some of these aren't new. I remember seeing some of these on the interview last year. What I'm interested in is what you asked for from Treasury that you didn't. Obviously some specific things here, like how to fund drainage and the like. But what was on your wish list that didn't get? It's very important for us to know as well, because we have to engage with the Treasury as well. The placement is now grant that the committee has in terms of when we can actually get through with this budget. So if you could give us some information on that, if it actually is the best chair,
what did you ask for which you didn't get?
Yeah. And I think we're all in the same position. Of course, we comment on the budget here, and I mean these figures are pretty much done now. But I raised it only because my conscience told me to raise it. One of the issues, and I know it's an increased allocation, so I guess we should be grateful, but it's certainly below CPI, is that there's been a lot of talk today about the quality of infrastructure, the maintenance of infrastructure, and with the maintenance of infrastructure also comes certain problems. There's a lack of maintenance results in the increased number of pollution events, for example. There are breakdowns in drinking water quality and all of the rest. Now, I realize a lot of that is that, if not all of it, at a municipal level, but you do a very important role from a compliance point of view. And I've never been convinced that the compliance divisions of the departments are up to scratch, the so-called blue scorpions and the like. that there is a very marginal increase in your budget. I'd appreciate your response to that. Well, and if indeed that, in your opinion, was foisted on you by Treasury, if indeed that is an area you agree should get greater support in terms of financial allocation.
Anyone this side? All right. You know, there was a judge once, and he was sleeping in court. Because the accused, they're sleeping nicely in court, and there's all this evidence being led. So the accused at one stage jumped up and said,
"No, the judge is sleeping."
How can this be? So the judge kind of obviously had a fright and woke up and said, "What? He's sleeping. I'm thinking deeply about what." And, you know, so that's like Mahia snoring away. He says he's thinking deeply. Okay.
Sorry, I'm just coming to grips with the budget for the first time. And I know I raised the first issue. I suspect that issue is probably more to do with that. Drinking water quality and wastewater services. But I see, particularly, Chairperson, that enforcement looks like it's got a cut. Budget enforcement. The enforcement's got a cut on slide number. It's on the sub program that it's a budget slide. So if you can. I've misread that somehow, or you can explain it in another way. That is, just reading as is, that's deeply concerning. Could you speak us through what that means?
What is the question?
The cut in enforcement is deeply concerning.
All right, let's have those questions answered.
I've taken the note and the comment by the chair in the manner that the presentation has been articulated. And let me respond on the request of the spending of the budget for 11 and 12 in terms of details. This is a reflection of how the budget is being spent for 11 and 12. Program 1 is sitting at 89%. Program 2 is sitting at 72%. That is the lowest in terms of spending. The infrastructure has spent all the money that has been augmented to them. In this manner, main account augments to WTE, and then the money gets spent from their side in terms of the project. Program 4, which is regional implementation, has spent the budget of 93%, and water sector has spent the budget at 81%.
And
yes.
I was under the impression the problem lies in 93, but the national only spent
72 in the water sector, where there's a lot of
what?
Where there are lots of cuts that have been implemented. That is water sector management.
That's a better picture.
No, it's not in the slide. It's a request that has been requested in terms of the budget for 11 and 12. The presentation that you have is for 12 and 13. That is linking to the APP.
Copy of that.
Okay.
That's important. That's where 100%. Spend all your money. I think Mr. Mandeva stands on the ground telling me they're coming through. But I'll let you go and talk to Tracy about that. All right, so are those all the questions for the answers? Is there more then?
The wish list, I think I will provide it tomorrow then, if it is permissible.
The wish list and this one. In fact, next year, the way you should actually do your input is you should be dealing with the outstanding issues from 11-12. Then you start with your input.
Yeah, if you don't get a correct reflection. You should be doing it like that.
For example, like unspent money. If we didn't ask the question, that we've never seen that slide. So we would never have known to unspent money. So we need to get that balance. You don't go through the whole budget. It's like the issues that are important that span over from the last budget need to be dealt with first, and then you start with the issue. Okay?
Well,
all right. Is everyone happy all those questions been answered?
The enforcement
one, what is happening there?
The enforcement in terms of the decrease. Can I provide that one as well tomorrow in order of all the documentation in terms of the reasoning of the
If we leave a bit earlier today, are you happy to start 9:00 tomorrow? Okay. All right. What I want to suggest is we finish now, and then we'll start tomorrow at 9:00. We'll run through to whatever we have to finish tomorrow. You can bring all the issues about the budget. Tomorrow, the first thing we'll do is after that has been spoken, I want Treasury to say whatever Treasury wants to say about the budget. Okay? So you do it first. Then I want the financial statements. What did SCOPA do? What were our financial statements? What did they say about us? And AG will be responding with that as well, okay? So we finish those two first tomorrow, and then we'll start with each of your branches. Okay. Tomorrow I'll decide how important the branches are in each order, okay?
Just a point of clarity. You say the financial statements and what SCOPA has said about them. We aren't at that point yet.
What did SCOPA say last year about your financial statements? So that we know whether you're addressing it. No, usually a financial statement is telling us whatever has happened. Now, same time while you're telling us what happened, you must also tell us what were the problems in the past with financial statements, which we know is at least 5 qualifications, and what it is you're doing about it. Then the AG's input comes as well. See, now we deal with financial statements. That's how we deal with it. Right. So tomorrow we'll finish the budget, then we'll deal with financial statements, then we'll see in terms of importance to deal with whatever units we have. Everyone happy with that? Okay. Now, members, let me quickly... and the department can listen to that. Let me quickly just remind you. You'll have a copy of this tomorrow. There's some more changes that have been made to the program for this term. So I'll give this tomorrow to you. Let me just quickly say to you, today I said to you already, today and tomorrow we're dealing with the department. Thursday morning, Department of Environment has given us an input on Rio Plus 20. Then in the afternoon, there are 5 of us that are attending what's called some dialogue, something on the Rio Plus 20 of Parliament. And if any of the members are not of the 5 and you want to go, I said, please give me your names. I'll try and strong arm someone to go along as well, okay? It may be quite interesting, this stuff. Then the next week, we only have 2 days. Do 12 water boards. sitting the whole Tuesday, the whole Wednesday. Parliament is sitting every night till 7 o'clock because it's EPC. It's until 7. So we'll be sitting till 7 as a committee. So the water boards, all 12 of them, are on Tuesday and Wednesday next week. Okay. I have set aside provisionally the Thursday, but I know that you're going to help me, the committee is going to help me to finish on Tuesday and Wednesday, so that we don't have to sit on Thursday, because Friday is a public holiday. So why would you want to sit on a Thursday? Okay, so I think you've got the general drift. Thank you. What it is, you're not going to ask too many questions for the water. Then the week after that, we only remember public holiday on the Tuesday, so we only come back on the Wednesday. On the Wednesday and the Thursday afternoon, we've got the DE, Department of Environment entity. So, is this Mangaluzu Sandparks, Weather Services, Sandby, Dalieto, okay? All those on there. And we've not set aside. Friday we set aside provisionally, so it's not there yet. Then on the week after that, we'll deal again with water. We'll deal with your entities on the Tuesday and the Wednesday. We'll deal with your CMAs, TCPA, Water Research Commission, so on. Again, we've set aside those. Then the week after that, that is the week I'm away. So, Mr. Mateve, please, you'll have to chair the 8th and the 9th. If you can't, let me know so I can get Mar to speak a lot. I'll need to wait for those 2 days to handle those two. I'm abroad for that, but I'm coming back, I think, on the Wednesday. And we set aside Saturday afternoon. Thursday afternoon and the whole Friday is set aside for the Rhino workshop. Remember the Rhino workshop we wanted to have with all the government players? That we wanted to do in July just too late. The Rhino issue is running away from us. So we had to make it and put it into the program there, okay? Thursday afternoon and the whole Friday on the 11th. Then the week after that, we may look at the amendments to SOAR, but I've set out nothing in that week. Why? Because we're having two debates in that week. The DIA debate on the 15th, and the water affairs at the moment is on the Friday, but I'm trying to get them to change it to Thursday. Mr. Cedric Frolic has agreed, but we must go now and go through the process. So your debates for DIA is on the 15th,